going to help me. I'm a little, you know, sometimes I'm a pinball in a pinball machine. I think someone's playing the pinball machine today without me having any say-so in the whole deal. But one of my favorite artists, he's going to be in Rapid City at Hills Alive. David Crowder, thank you. And he's got a song that he sings, and it's about how one of the lines in there is how we make Christianity too hard. We make it too hard. And I believe that that's true lots of times. We make it too hard. We make receiving from God too hard. You know, my radio, my old radio, you know, I'd turn that thing on and hook it up to the signal that was coming out. And that's what it was designed to do. It was designed to receive. And it'd receive. Now, sometimes things would come in and try to get it to lose its focus. You know, the old AM radios years ago when the sun would set. You know, someday I'm going to be talking to people and they're going to go, I don't have a clue what you're talking about, Pastor. AM? What is that? But I remember that, and you'd have to dial it in. Our job, just stay dialed into God. And He's transmitting. He's transmitting. God so loved the world that He gave. He's giving. And we're just going to shut the devil up, all his lies. You know, I'll throw this line out. The message this morning, the teaching is along these lines. Jesus, your victory over sin. And how many times do we think, well, yeah, I know God loves me and I know He wants to give to me, but I did this, I did that. You know, and as I was preparing this message and praying about it and putting it together, I could just hear this going on. In somebody's thinking today when I talk about, you know, how much God wants to give you and how forgiven you are and all of that. And there'd be someone who would think, the devil would throw the thought into someone's head, yeah, but you don't know what I did last night. But you don't know what I did this week. You're right, I don't know. But I know what Jesus did on a cross 2,000 years ago. I know what He did. And that's my focus. Every one of us in this room who has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has probably sinned since that day. Could I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. But how many of you know Jesus has given us victory over sin? And sometimes we think or we allow that sin to stop us from receiving and walking in everything God has for us personally as individuals and everything He has for us to do for others. I don't want the lies and the tricks and the schemes of the enemy to cause me not to just freely enjoy the abundance of God and then not to freely and willingly step out and share with people. Speak a word of life. Speak a word of encouragement. Speak a word of hope. Lay hands on somebody in the grocery store and pray for them. You know, and what if it doesn't work? I'll get the next one. What if that doesn't? I'll get the next one. I think of Heidi Baker. She had a word that blind eyes would be open. And for years, every time she got around a blind person, she prayed for them. And for years, nothing happened. Then in a span of 2 days, less than 48 hours, three blind women that she prayed for saw perfectly right in front of her eyes. She watched them go from the gray, milky, to beautiful blue. Amen? I'm just going to keep going. Turn and look at somebody and say, I'm going to keep going. I'm just going to keep going. Amen? I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to keep following God. Just going to keep doing what He has said in His Word. So let's pray and then talk about Jesus, your victory over sin. God, we love You, praise You, thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy, and I thank You, Father, that it's a whole lot easier. It's a whole lot easier. It's not near as hard as we sometimes make it out to be, and it's not near as hard as the devil wants us to think it is. It just isn't. God, we study to show ourselves approved. We trust and believe You. Thank You, Father, right now for the supernatural ability to minister and teach like I should. It helped me to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and not miss anything that You have for folks today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it's kind of like I've been on this for a while, and maybe there's a reason why I've been on it. But take your Bible and open up to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 again. Keep a marker there. Hebrews chapter 12. When Diane and I went to Australia, I had trouble sleeping at first, and you know, different things weren't working and stuff. And then the one thing that worked for me, and I'd grab my iPad and I'd open up to the Bible and I'd lay there and just read scripture. And for most of the time that we were there, and then when I got back, this has been the scripture, the passages that I've been looking at and reading, and God showed me some things. So I'd like to just, I'm going to start at verse 1. No promises where I'll quit. But Hebrews, I hope I said 12, did I? Yay! Oh, last night, you know, something, here's the lesson in this. I just left the note, but the other night we were talking at the meeting for the missions trip, and I said, you know, I what I wanted to say is, you know, just speaking from my heart is what I wanted to say. But that's not what came out. I said, but speaking from my fart. Yeah, that's what came out. You know, and then I was visiting with Diana, and we said, you know, we're talking a little bit, and I just, how would you have felt if that was you? And she just, no, not at all. And then she goes, yeah, but you're so used to stuff like that. Which is true. She said, I roll with the punch as well. But how many of you know, how many of you, if that was you, and you would have said that in front of a bunch of people, would have been just devastated or really embarrassed? You just thought the world just ended. The world didn't end. How many of you know we're going to do silly, goofy things sometimes, and that doesn't stop God from loving us? Amen? Turn and look at somebody and say, just get over yourself. Amen? Just, it's okay. It really is. Just, I tell you what, everybody's striving to be perfect, but when you get there, if you do it in your own strength and your own ability, the rest of us are going to have... Yeah, anyway, I'm getting off track. So, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your very soul, in your soul. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Here's what I want to bring out at first, and we'll keep a marker here. Do you find it a little bit interesting that in verse 1 and in verse 4, the bread, if you will, for this sandwich, he's talking about sin? Amen? He's talking about sin. On both sides of it. So I wonder if, looking unto Jesus as the author of our faith, is going to play a role in us having victory over sin. Amen? Amen? Amen. It is. It's going to play a significant role in living out the victory that Jesus Christ has already won for us. So when you take it into context, we can look to Jesus, and he's going to help us walk in victory over sin. How many of you in here have to sin? Praise God. I'm glad that no hands went up. How many of you know you don't have to sin? And how many of you know you have victory over sin in Jesus Christ? Amen? Praise God. So, let's look at this a little bit. Verse 1 again. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside. Everybody say, lay aside. How hard is that? Really? Does it have to be? Who makes it hard? That's what I want to get to. We make it hard. Lay aside. Lay aside. Now, I know on all of this, how many of you know the enemy will show up and he'll tempt you? I remember in the scripture where Jesus said to Peter, "Behold, Satan crouches at the door to get you." And Satan feeds us lies and gets us to believe things that aren't true. But I haven't done this for a long time. But a lie, here's the dictionary definition of a lie. A lie is a false statement that's known to be false by the person who makes it. Okay? So everything about a lie is false. Now let me ask this question. Are lies powerful? Okay? What gives a lie power? We believe the lie and then it has power. So if you don't believe the lies that the enemy speaks to you, do those lies then have any power over you? No. So if we know the truth from the lies that the enemy speaks to us, then we are free because we've got power over those lies. Amen. But you know what, Brian? That was a lie. It's not hard. It's easy. I lay it aside. Now I know Satan shows up. Tries to get me to pick it back up. And this can happen. I'm walking along and I lay it aside and I walk down the road and all of a sudden, you know, Satan had somebody pick it up, run up ahead of me and stand on the way path, you know, the path with a big old sign up. Hey, here you go. Take this. No, I'm not taking it back. No. Yes, he will try. I don't deny all of that. But it's, we have victory. We have victory. So, in this, just let me read it again. Lay aside every weight. Do me a favor right now. How many of you got some things that you don't want to carry anymore? Lay it down. Is it a weight? I'd like you to do this right now in your imagination, right now in your heart, in your mind. Whatever that thing is, guess what yours is. Set it down right now. Set it right there. See yourself setting it down. Now walk away. And you might have to sometimes, like you do with a little dog. Stay. But lay it down. Just lay it down. No. No. And the enemy is going to try to sneak in and trick you up, but you don't have to. You don't have to carry it. You don't have to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. I lay it down right now. I lay it down and I'm not carrying it anymore. Hallelujah. Now in the process of doing that, how do we do it? Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Everybody say, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. That's what I'm doing. I'm looking unto Jesus. I just laid that unnecessary weight down. I just laid that sin down, and now I'm looking unto Jesus. Why? So I can run the race. So I can run without those unnecessary weights, without that sin trying to keep a wrap itself around me. Yeah, but you don't know what I did last night. No, but I know what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. And I know that if we ask for that forgiveness, 1 John 1:9, if we ask for that forgiveness, we have it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, if all unrighteousness is gone, what's left? Righteousness. Amen? Just the simplicity of it. I don't want it to get any more complicated than that. And somebody might be sitting there, but Pastor, I've heard this before. I don't know about you, but I like good reminders that tell me the truth, and sometimes I need them. Amen? And so do you. Turn and look at somebody and say, so do you. Glory to God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, set down shame and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Anybody ever got discouraged or weary in your soul, in your thought life, when you look at places where you've stumbled and blown it? What are we supposed to do according to the scripture? Keep looking at what you stumbled and blew it over? No, consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. And how many times will God forgive us? Think about this one passage of scripture where Peter comes and says to him, Lord, if my comes against me and sins against me 7 times in one day, how many times should I forgive? Should I forgive him? And Jesus said, 70 times 7. Now you think about this. Jesus spoke to us and gave us instruction that if somebody comes to us and commits the same sin against us, I believe that comes to 470 times? 490 times? Okay. 490 times. Now picture this. Somebody sins against you the same sin 490 times in one day, and you are told to forgive them. Right? Would Jesus, would God do any less? No. Wouldn't do any less, would he? How quick is God to forgive? But yet the enemy tries to get those little thoughts to linger in our minds. Amen? And then why I'm on this is because those little lingerings is then what makes it hard. We allow it to make things hard. Is this making sense to anybody? Man, what I say this time, you know, I've said it a lot and people have given me testimonies back. Stop arguing with God. Stop arguing with God. You're going to lose. Because he is right. Amen? And then the other thing I said, you know, in that, agree with God. Agree with him. Well, why should you agree with him? Because he's right. That's why. How many of us have watched somebody argue with somebody and they're wrong in their argument? And we sit there and just in amazement, we watch them argue. And it's like, my gosh, can they not see the stupidity of their platform? You know, do they not get the ignorance of what they're saying? And they don't see it. You know, when we argue with God and don't accept what he says, that's what we look like. And Satan's over there going, yeah, I'm enjoying this. Just keep arguing with him. No. Stop arguing with God and agree with him and then just accept. I am forgiven. I am healed. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's the simplicity of it. That's the simplicity of it. So look to Jesus. I want to do something real quick here. Oh my gosh. I'm going to make church longer. It's already 5 to 11. How is that possible? We started at 9:30 and it's already 5 to 11. Well, let me just, some scriptures. Back up to Hebrews chapter 3. Wow. Hebrews chapter 4. 3 was incorrect. 4 is correct. So in our walking in victory over sin, and I like putting it that way, Jesus is our victory over sin. So we look to him. We look to him. We follow him. Will Jesus ever lead you into sin? No. Will he lead you into victory over it? Amen. So here real quick, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. So hold fast our confession. After you ask for forgiveness, what's your confession? I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Hold fast your confession. Yeah, but I feel guilty. I don't care. You know, the thing wasn't feelings. Don't let feelings be the dictator of your Christianity. Amen? Don't let feelings be the dictator of your faith walk. You know, the Bible doesn't say we walk by feelings and not by faith. The Bible doesn't say we walk by feelings and not by sight. The Bible does not tell us, instruct us to walk by feelings. But in all honesty, how many of us let our feelings dictate our faith? You know, when your feelings show up, you ought to really take a good look at them. And you ought to look at them and see if they are under the truth and the instruction of the Word of God. Because if they're not under the truth and the instruction of the Word of God, get them there. Did you know your feelings are not supposed to work against you? They're actually supposed to work for you. All right, I've so left my notes, they're gone already. I can't believe it. Wow. Where do feelings come from? Thought life. If we can get our thought life lined up with the Word of God, guess what we can do with our feelings? We can control them. We can get them under the submission and under the truth of God's Word. And, how many of you know we are feeling beings? How many of you know God has feelings? How many of you know the Holy Spirit has feelings? He can be grieved. He can be hurt. He can feel that. He senses that. God is the same way. And my feelings used to run amok. My feelings used to control me and used to dictate my life. Got so mad one night in December, here in Custer. It's cold in December. I worked in the woods logging. I had one vehicle, a Willys Jeep Wagoneer. And my feelings of anger and rage caused me just to go down the passenger side of my vehicle and punch out every window with my fist. Try to look at somebody and say, that's stupid. Go ahead, just say, that's stupid. That's just dumb. But that's what my feelings did to me. No. I said that wrong. That's what I let my feelings do to me. They don't do that anymore. Nope. I probably had four or five vehicles while driving, got mad at the person in front of me, and yep. Shattered my windshield. Huh? Yeah, that'll fix them. Amen. Yeah, it's just, But see, the more I got my mind renewed to the truth of God's Word, the less those feelings got to dictate the course of my life. Jesus Christ has forgiven us. This verse of Scripture, He who knew no sin was made sin on my behalf. It's become personal to me. That's not how the verse reads, but that's how I quote it. Jesus Christ, He who knew no sin, was made sin on my behalf, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I am the righteousness in God in Christ Jesus. Oh, how do I do all this? Head with me to Romans real quick. You guys okay? Is it all right if I don't just try to rush right to the end? Would that be all right? I'm going to take that one amen. No, there was more than one. I love what Jesus has done for us. Okay. Romans. Actually going to go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. You got to understand, I'm leaving out 90% of my notes. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now, everybody say now. Say it again, now. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. There is no difference. How many of you have faith in Jesus Christ? Amen. So what do you have through your faith in Jesus Christ? Even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ. How many of you today, right now, have the righteousness of God? You have it. We're going to keep reading. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified. What happened to all of those who fell short? What happened to all of those who sinned and fell short of the glory of God? They got justified. How? By the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Yes, I acknowledge that I sinned. But I also acknowledge my faith in Jesus Christ. And through my faith in Jesus Christ, I have a righteousness that is from God. And I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the devil doesn't have anything on me. Turn and look at somebody and say, the devil doesn't have anything on me. He doesn't have anything on you, man. He doesn't have anything on you. He comes whispering in your ear. He comes lying to you. He comes trying to point out all the stumbles, all the stupid things, trying to bring up sins that God will never remember or bring up again. It's just the enemy lying. And the only thing that will give a lie any power is if we choose to believe it. Boy, we really ought to look at the thoughts that we're thinking and see if they line up with God or not. All right, so, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely. Everybody say freely. So if it's freely, what'd you do to earn it? How many times do we try to earn it? How many times in our head do we think we have to do something to earn it? Well, if I just pray a little more, maybe I will have earned it. If I just read my Bible a little more, maybe I'll have earned it. You know what? Those are lies. Those are lies. Is it good to pray? Yes. Is it good to read your Bible? Yes. But I'm not praying and I'm not reading my Bible to earn it. It's freely given. I can't earn it by being good enough. It doesn't come that way. Being justified freely by the grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at this present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? No. By the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified. I like this. In my Bible, I've got a little note down in the bottom for the word justified. You know what that means? Declared righteous. How many of you know God stands and declares you righteous right now? How many of you are looking forward to Judgment Day? Okay, I got one hand went up. Let me ask that question again. How many of you are looking forward to Judgment Day? A few more hands are going up. For those of you who aren't looking forward to Judgment Day, why not? Do you plan on standing in Judgment Day based on your works? Or do you plan on standing on Judgment Day based on what Jesus Christ had done for you? How many are looking forward to Judgment Day? I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually looking forward to it. Because as he is, so also are we in this present world. I'm looking forward to Judgment Day. When I stand before God and I turn and look at Jesus, and he declares righteous. I'm looking forward to that day, you guys. I'm looking forward to that. Now, with those simple questions, what does that indicate to us that might really be going on in our thought life? For some of us, might it indicate it that we haven't fully grabbed a hold of in thought life all that Jesus has done for us? Help me out here. Yes, amen. So what are you going to do about it? Because it's your thought life. How many of you are just going to go ahead and, God, you're right. I agree and I accept it. And I don't care how mind, that's good. It is mind-blowing. We need to blow up that old thinking, stinking, amen? We do. We ought to get to the place to where we're, I'm looking forward to Judgment Day. Okay, since we left these notes so long ago, let me find something. Okay, it's going to be, I think, 2 Corinthians. Let me just find this. This might be my closing verse of Scripture. I don't know. Let's see. No. Shoot, I can't find it right away. Nope, that's not it. It's got to be 1 Corinthians. And sometimes what I do is I look at it. I could quote it, but I'd rather be able to read it to you. And it's not Romans. You guys all doing okay? Pause the tape up there. Give me 5 minutes to find this. No, I'm kidding. If I don't find it this time, I'm going to just move right on. I can't find it. This is what it says. It's talking about when we're standing before God, and it says this: each one's praise will come from God. Somebody with your smartphone right now, go look that up on BibleGateway.com. That phrase, each one's praise will come from God. How many of you anticipate standing in front of God on Judgment Day and hearing Jesus praise you? 1 Corinthians 4 what, Bob? Will you read it? Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. How many of you think about getting praised on Judgment Day? I do. I fully intend to hear some praises from God on Judgment Day. Isn't that what the Bible says? Each one's praise will come from God. Well, how many of you expect Him to praise you? Please, I'm hoping. Okay, Pastor, this is a new thought. I'm afraid of Judgment Day. That's the general thinking that runs around in the church world for the most part. So if we're really fearing Judgment Day, how much faith are we in right now? Or how much fear are we in right now? And are we going to be drugged back into a works program? I got to do a little more. I got to be a little better. Wasn't the blood of Jesus enough? See how we make it too hard? We make it too hard in thought life. I can lay my hands on the sick and the sick get well. It's not hard. I can lay aside sin and every unnecessary weight. Doesn't have to be hard, you guys. Amen. You getting anything out of this today? Oh, I hope so, because I'm going to quit right there. Amen. Down at Rhema one time, there was this, people would get up and testify. And this one guy was up there testifying, and he was going on and on and on. And they were supposed to do little two-minute testimonies. But down at Rhema, this guy said, he goes, they taught us how to start. They never taught us how to stop. So I never stop real well. I just stop. Yes. Amen.
That's how it is in our life.
Amen. Looking unto Jesus. Folks, at least I believe this is true for everybody in here. You have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, for all of you who do. And then since the day you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you've sinned. And you didn't like it. And you didn't want to do it again. But you did. And then you repented. And you didn't ever want to do it again. But you did. And maybe some people don't really want God to open up the file that He has on you up in heaven. You know, how many of you know He's got a file on you? And how many of you are afraid that when he goes to the file cabinet and he pulls that drawer out, anybody a little bit worried? Amen. You know, actually, it's kind of like this. Yeah. And shuts it. Because it's empty. Amen. It's empty. It's empty. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to live from that platform now. Oh, I had so much more I wanted to share. I really did. I had got so much more. Because what Jesus already did for us, and then how we look at him today, and we let him teach us and show us how to walk. For we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has already passed through the heavens. Therefore, let us hold fast our confession. For Jesus, he's able to sympathize with us in our weaknesses. Therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know what? Jesus was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. And he can relate to the struggle that we deal with. But not only can he relate to it, he's got the answers for the victory. But the first part of that is, let me just say, accept the fact that you are 100% forgiven. And you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you don't need to do anything to make that better. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is more than enough. Amen. Took care of you and every human being that ever walked the face of this earth. Amen? And that's where I start. I just accept that. I believe that, I release faith in that, and that's the platform of which I walk off of. And then when I'm going along and I mess up and I make a mistake, and instead of saying, you know, the right thing, I say the wrong thing. I know that I can still look to Jesus, and look to Jesus is going to constantly teach me how to walk in the victory. Did you know that the Bible says that the disciples went out? I said I was going to quit. The disciples went out and they had authority to trample over snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And they did that. And they came back and they were so excited. Did you know lies are a part of the power of the enemy? Did you know sin is a part of Satan? What do you have authority over? You have authority over the lies. You have authority over sin. When sin wants to creep at your door, guess what? You have authority over it. You can talk to that sin and say, no, shut up in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name, because you have authority over it. Now, in all of this, there's great news, and then also personal responsibility. Personal. How many of you know Jesus wants us to walk in what he gave us? We get to walk in our authority. Okay, now I'm going to quit. Amen. Turn and look at somebody and say, the file's empty. The file's empty. The file's empty. How many of you in here know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? You know, you met him. You met him. He forgave you of all your sins. He forgave you of all the stuff you did wrong. I'm looking around and most faces are familiar. Then we got some folks visiting. You guys know Jesus? You've been here before. No? Well, you both have twins out there. Amen. Praise God. We're forgiven. We're forgiven in Jesus Christ. We're forgiven. If you're in this place today and you've never asked Jesus to forgive you, do so today. Come on up to the altar. I think I'm the person that's going to be up here praying. Jan, you're going to come up here also. Amen. Might want to steal. Well, I won't steal anybody from the worship team. Let's all go ahead and stand up. Amen. Glad you're here today. You taking something with you? I hope so. I hope so. For those that are visiting, we always ask people if they know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and give them a chance to receive, give them a chance to come forward and accept him. But then we've also started doing every church service that on a Sunday morning, we almost every, we intend to pray for people. We intend to lay hands on people. Jan's got a testimony from 2 weeks ago when David was here. You'd had some issues, hip, remember? I don't.
I broke my foot and my arm.
Broke your foot and arm. Amen.
So that is available. God wants.
Amen. Amen. He does. And then we're going to do it this way. Sarah, you wouldn't mind if people here laid hands on you, would you?
Yeah.
You've already had your mom and dad, but instead of making you come all the way up here, you could if you wanted to. We could make you do that. But I think your faith is already evidenced in the fact that you're here. You know, that's it. So I'm going to close us in prayer. And then if you want prayer, come on up and we'll pray. And then for some of you that are out there, please make your way over to where Sarah is. And you guys lay your hands on her and pray for her for absolute, thank God, for total and complete healing, 100%. Amen. And then if you have need of anything in your life, if you just want the peace of God to consume you, come on up. If you're looking for wisdom and direction in an area of life, we'll pray for you. This altar is open and we can pray about anything. Anything. Amen. It's not limited to healing. It's not limited to salvation. It's open for everything that God has for us. Amen. So I'm going to close this in prayer. You're free to take off and go. You can come up front and be prayed for. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We worship you. We praise you and give you the glory and the honor. We thank you right now for being so good to us, for loving us so much. And Father, I'm just trusting you and the Holy Spirit this morning because I had so many more things I wanted to look at. But I'm just trusting that you, God, said what you wanted to say. And it's not me, but it's you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who is our teacher. He's the one that leads and guides into all truth. And I release faith in that right now in Jesus' name. And Father, for folks who are here, if there is a person or persons that have never met Jesus, that today they would. Today they would. And Father, there's people in here that are looking for someone to come along and stand beside them, someone to pray with them, to pray for them. Well, that opportunity is here also. So thank you, Father, for continued supernatural work, for miracles. And then thank you, Father God, that as we go from this place today, we go with you, we walk out of here in victory, and we are the light of the world. We get to shine your light, your goodness, your love, your mercy on all those folks we come in contact with. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So go ahead. You are dismissed. You want to come up and have prayer? Come on up. Amen.